Good evening. Tuesday night in Lansing. Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. About 80 degrees. It'll be the same tomorrow and Thursday also. Let's get right to it today. Michigan U.S. Congressman Hanson Clark making news with proposals to forgive student loan debts and now plan to seek emergency federal aid for Detroit in the midst of its financial crisis. He joins me now to tell me more about both of these initiatives. Congressman Clark, thanks for joining us this evening.
Well, Michael, it's great being on your show.
Well, let's start with Detroit. Governor Snyder has already said that the city is free to pursue federal assistance in its efforts to avoid a state takeover, although time is of the essence. When will you be officially requesting federal assistance?
Well, I have legislation drafted right now modeled after the relief that Congress provided New York City back in the mid-70s when it was on the verge of bankruptcy. So I'm working on those details right now.
Okay,
I'm in Congress at this moment, and I do have draft legislation ready to submit.
This is going to happen then in the next, week or so?
It should, correct.
Now, there's $200 million of deficit this fiscal year for Detroit, over $13 billion in long-term debt. How much money will you be requesting?
Well, we're also focused on that $1 billion of general obligation debt that the city has that it may not have fees to levy to pay off. So that's the ultimate dollar amount, something we're going to need to negotiate with the state, federal government, and the city of Detroit.
It does seem unlikely that your Republican colleagues will be very supportive of the idea of loaning the city of Detroit money, especially in the context of the party's general opposition to the Big Three bailout. How do you see this kind of request unfolding in Congress?
Well, Detroit is important to the national economy, even though it's been struggling for the past few decades. We still have the best manufacturing workforce around. We have the vacant land to attract new jobs. So my request essentially is whatever money we would ask for, it's essentially asking to advance Detroit money that the taxpayers already contribute to the federal government at around $2 billion a year. See, New York City in the 70s was too big to fail. Detroit as a symbol for U.S. manufacturing is too important to fail. Because right now, Detroit, its financial problems are putting a drag all around the region. It could affect the bond ratings of our suburban communities, and it actually discourages new investment from coming in southeastern Michigan. So if we improve the financial situation for Detroit, that'll improve the number of jobs and the investment attraction of the entire region.
You'd want to bring in, let's say, $1 billion, $2 billion, though, approximately into the city of Detroit from the federal government?
Well, it depends. That's going to depend what form the relief takes. So it could be a loan, it could be a loan guarantee, it could be refinancing certain obligations that the city owes. Or it could be a combination of all of those.
So what is your perspective on what's happening here with the potential emergency financial manager? I mean, is Governor Snyder wrong to pursue a state takeover in some form, whether it is an advisory board or an EFM, or do you agree that city officials have simply not made the necessary tough choices?
Well, we do need financial controls in city spending. The debt deficit problem has been years in the making. We also, fundamentally, we need to change the culture in Detroit. You know, for decades, people would run for office and get elected so that they could be served by the public when it should be the other way, when it must be the other way around, that government's there to serve the public. But the problem is the Detroiters, by and large, put up with that kind of attitude and allow these elected officials to squander their money. So ultimately, we need a change in culture where Detroit voters hold their elected officials accountable to serving them. That's why that emergency financial manager would really cause more harm, because it would further remove voters from their elected officials who should be there to work for them. Now, I did speak to the governor directly a few days ago. He told me he doesn't want to appoint an emergency financial manager, but he's going to have to make a decision shortly according to the state law timetable. So that's why I'm trying to work out something right now between the state of Michigan, the federal government, and the city of Detroit, where we can avoid city bankruptcy and also avoid appointing an emergency financial manager while instituting the controls that we need. You see, we just cutting alone, laying off people alone, is not going to turn the city around. We need to track investment as well. That's why I'm asking for money that'll either free up city money to make our streets safer and improve our schools, or money to provide that directly.
You know, someone say, look, you'll give Detroit more money, the city will run along for another 2 years, and then we'll be in the same exact point of crisis. Do you think the state needs to get involved to maybe kickstart this change of culture that you're talking about?
Well, the change of culture can only happen from within the city. The state can provide funding, and they can provide technical assistance and support. The governors are willing to provide that. But when you're talking about a primarily African-American city, and we as African-Americans have only had the right to vote fully just for a few decades, and also a city that needs to hold its elected officials more in account, imposing an emergency manager would really make things worse. And we have a precedent for that. We looked at the impact of the state takeover of Detroit schools over the past decade. Those appointed officials closed schools, and that may have made sense in terms of saving money, but it ended up destroying many viable neighborhoods because the parents left the city and took their tax dollars with them to the suburbs. So we do need the public more involved with how their money is spent, but we do need protections if we do get federal relief. Mm-hmm. To make sure that that money is spent properly.
I'm talking to U.S. Congressman Hanson Clark of Detroit. Now, I do want to talk about your idea to, or your bill to forgive student loans, the Student Loan Forgiveness Act. Anyone dealing with these long-term student loan payments would be thrilled to see them forgiven. So exactly how would someone qualify and how much money can be forgiven here?
Well, I introduced the Student Loan Forgiveness Act of 2012. To help those families who are struggling right now to make their student loan payments. It'll help them by helping them better manage their student loan payments. And this will also have the benefit of creating jobs, because once people are freed up to use their own money for themselves to buy a home to invest as opposed to paying off student loans, that's going to create jobs. So here's how someone would qualify. Anyone who's currently in school that's borrowed a loan, or anyone who's currently in repayment, could be eligible to have their loans forgiven, but only if they repay their loans according to this formula. It's the 10-10 plan. You pay 10% of your discretionary income for a period of 10 years, and then if you have any outstanding federal loans, those federal loans will be forgiven. So this is not blanket loan forgiveness. It requires everyone to pay according to their income and to pay that amount equal to 10 years.
So in terms of the money then that's forgiven, who's taking that loss?
Well, right now, just, you know, our economy's actually taken a loss because of the lack of jobs that we aren't getting, because student loan borrowers are paying all their money to the federal government and private lenders as opposed to spending it in the economy, which would create jobs. But based on, you know, our rough calculations, the cost of this loan forgiveness, paying off those student loans, would be approximately $8 billion a year for 10 years. And that is roughly maybe 5% of our overseas military spending this year alone for the next 10 years. So it's a fraction of what we're spending overseas in military operations. We could use that to provide great economic security for our country by getting our people out of debt. But again, it's only for those borrowers who pay responsibly on their student loans. You got to do that first.
Right.
Now, it'll also help those borrowers who've been already paying for the past 10 years. So someone may have already made those payments over the past 10 years. Once my bill gets enacted into law, they could be eligible to have their loans forgiven immediately.
I see. But an $8 billion cost is quite hefty. I do want to ask you, though, about the types of degrees we're churning out here. I mean, right now, student loans on an annual basis range in the $100 billion range. The total outstanding student loan debt is around $1 trillion. When you see graduates coming out of school with these English degrees and communications degrees, I myself got an English degree, but do you agree that these are not necessarily the types of degrees that direct people into high-paying jobs right out of college, rather than things like engineering and computer science degrees?
That may be the case, and those are precisely the graduates that would benefit from student loans. Those are the graduates right now who are struggling right now. because they've got these high student loan payments, they can't make it right now, so they're falling behind. And when you fall behind on student loan payments, they'll go up and up because the interest gets charged on top of interest, and that's regardless how, what your income is. So that's the squeeze. Those are the people we're trying to help right now. You know, I was a fine arts major with a painting degree, so I can understand that. But education has value. Our country as a whole is stronger when more people are educated, not just because they're making money, but because they're able to contribute to our society. You know, Michael, you're able to help educate people because of your education that you have. Being able to communicate effectively, inform the public, that has extraordinary value regardless of how much you get paid. You shouldn't be saddled in debt for the rest of your life because you chose to be an English major and serve the public the way you are right now.
I have to ask you, what do you think your Republican colleagues are going to say about this initiative? I mean, that is an $8 billion bill to help people get out of the college debts. I cannot imagine Republicans getting behind that idea.
Here's why they would be open to it, because currently the student loan system really crushes the entrepreneurial spirit. We're talking about college students, those who are ambitious enough, hardworking enough. They wanted a career. Many of them would want to go into business on their own, but they can't take that risk because of all the debt that they're in. If we can put them on a reasonable payment plan, which is 10% of your discretionary income, it's significant, but it's not going to kill you financially. You do that for a period of 10 years, which is the standard student loan repayment term. Only then, if you have any student loan debt outstanding, would that loan be forgiven. See, for many people, they would already pay off their loans before that time, so we may not have many loans to be forgiven. But this would help improve entrepreneurship, create more jobs, because it will allow people the freedom to use their money to go into business.
So you were a fine arts major. What is your favorite painting, then?
Oh. Since I've been in Congress right now, probably Edvard Munch, The Scream. But, you know, I like Jasper Johns and some Picasso and a contemporary painter named Kehinde Wiley. I don't have one favorite. Well, you know what I do? I'll tell you what it is. It's The Orange Woman, and it's a painting that I did in 2007, and a young lady saw the painting online. And I was so impressed by how she loved the painting that I wanted to meet her, and then I married her 10 days later.
Wow, I see.
So that's my favorite painting.
U.S. Congressman Hanson Clark of Detroit. Congressman, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
No, you're very welcome. And, you know, we're just trying to cut the real debt that's burdening people, and that's student loan debt. You know, enough is enough. You paid off, you know, your loans for 10 years. You should be able to use that money the best way you see fit. Well, so that's what we're trying to do, provide people some freedom.
Certainly have a lot of people agreeing with you on that one. Congressman, again, thanks for joining us this evening.
You're very welcome, Michael.
And we're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy, and this is 1320 WILS.